I want you to open your Bibles, please, in the book of the Psalm. The Psalm is Psalm number 1. And the first Psalm, we read these words. Just let's follow the reading of God's Word. I want you to keep your Bible before us. We want to have a little Bible study this evening. What God has written upon my heart. You know, when we think of these young people, those, our sister going to university, our brother going into training for evangelism, they need your prayers. They need the guidance of the Scripture. There is no place to be than in the center of the will of God. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the only place where you need to be is to walk in the very center of the will of God and to walk according to His precious and His holy word. I suppose if one were to ask young people today, or even older people, what they wanted or longed for more than anything else in life, I suppose it would say happiness and contentment. And yet so many pass through life without experiencing where true happiness is found, not knowing just exactly what true happiness is all about. I wonder, in the very depths of your soul tonight, are you happy? Let's open our Bible here in Psalm chapter 1. And verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, that standeth not, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his holy word. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ was upon this earth, he preached a great sermon. It is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And in that Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ opened his mouth, it says, and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers, and blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And he says, blessed are ye. And the reason why I mention that word blessed is the word happy. If you want to know true happiness and where true happiness is found, then you've got to turn to the Word of God, for the Spirit of God reveals the secret of true happiness. In the quest for happiness, men and women search many different places. And you know, the world has many prescriptions on offer as far as where happiness is found, and yet they're all doomed to failure when God is left out of the life. You see, the Catechism rightly says man's chief end, or the real purpose of man being here in the first place, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. I think it's true that whenever you read autobiographies or biographies of great personalities that are written in the end of their lives, to be honest, many of them reveal an awful sadness, an awful disillusionment of life. Because having traveled through the journey of life and coming to the end of the journey, and they face the unknown future, they do so without assurance in their heart because of nothing for eternity. They have no peace in their soul. They have no peace with God. And you know, I'm reminded that just as a little child would run after the little soap bubble. And did you ever see the child and he blows the bubble and then he runs after it, and he wants to catch it, and he's chasing it, and finally he decides it, he has caught it. And just when he thinks he has got it, it bursts, and it's gone. And really, there's nothing left. And whenever he reaches out for it, it disappears. And he's left disappointed and he's left frustrated. He would have loved to have caught it. He would have loved to have kept it. And you know, that's exactly what many people are looking for, happiness. And they're running after this bubble of life. And they call it happiness and they're seeking it in the world. And friend, at the end of the journey, they're left disillusioned. Because deep in their soul, they don't know what true happiness really is. They don't know what real peace is. We sang, "Peace like a river is flooding my soul." And friend, to be honest before God, if you were to search the hearts of men and women, and you were to analyze their lives, to be honest before God, as they think back on their life, they haven't got the peace of God in their soul. Because they're not at peace with God through the blood of our Savior's cross. I'm sure you heard about the two men that looked out of the prison bars and one saw mud and the other saw the stars. And friend, let me tell you, the psalmist said, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills." We've got to seek and search. Where do we find this true happiness? Where is this happiness found? And as these young men and young women go back into university or into the Lord's work, I trust that God will make them happy in serving Christ because they have found the secret of happiness itself. Turn to us in Psalm number 1. And I want us to do a little search tonight in the Scriptures. And we'll go a few verses in God's Word because the happy man's counsel is found in Psalm 1 verse 1. Happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You notice here the psalmist commences with a negative. Blessed or happy is the man that walketh not. That walketh not. He points out the pathway that a man shouldn't take. Young people are going to university, and I say to you in God's name, there is a pathway that you should not take. Now, life is like a highway, and it leads through time, and it's headed towards eternity. And friend, there are many travelers you'll meet on that journey, as you go down the road of life. But there are some people, there are some companions, and friend, let me tell you, you can do without. I say to young people, be careful of your choice of companions. Because there are those whose counsel is godly. And they will lead you in the paths of righteousness. But there's those who give worldly counsel. And friend, you can do without their counsel because it's dangerous. It's a counsel that must be avoided. Notice what it says here. Happy is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You see, the world has a lot to say about life. The worldling has a lot to say about everything. But the advice of the unbeliever, friend, as far as spiritual things are concerned, you can do without. Be careful in the counsel that you listen to. The happy man's counsel. Now, I know that the advice of the unbeliever might be necessary in the field of medicine, or in the field of law, or the field of commerce, or other technical fields that you may go into in normal living, in normal life. But when it comes to spiritual things, to the things of God, friend, don't seek the world's advice on the things that relate to your soul. Do you remember whenever Pilate was wondering what to do with Jesus? The world had a lot to answer. They cried, "Crucify him, crucify him." They said to Pilate, "Away with this man. We will not have this man to rule over us." Sad to say, the world is counseled to give to young people. And they try to mold you into their fashion. I say to you in God's name, if you want to be happy in the Lord, let me tell you, you walk not according to the counsel of the ungodly. Listen to the word of God, friend. Have a soul that's in tune with the word of God. Search the Scriptures. You know, when our sister Jillian was talking tonight, it blessed my soul. And she asked God for guidance. She sought the Lord. When Ian was talking about what to do with his life, he didn't go to the world. He sought the face of God. He asked God. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth or denieth not. And oh, young people, I think of you young people with life in front of you. And you know, people ask you, what are you going to do with your life? What do you want to be? Now, I must be honest, I thought that Ian had a tremendous imagination when ever thought that he was going to be a boxer. Because I can tell you, remind me of Billy Hamilton. I used to know Billy. He was up in the old Ravenhill Church in the Martyrs. And he was a boxer. And he said, let me tell you, he knew every crack that was in the Ulster Hall ceiling, because he was back that many times looking up at it. And you know, friends, I can honestly say, Ian, you would have been on your back more times than you'd ever been standing. The only good thing, they probably couldn't find you because of your size. To hit you, they have to get you to stop you, to hit you. But nevertheless, you did have a good imagination. But I tell you this, my friend, if you want to do something valuable with your life, then seek the face of God. Ask the Lord. Do you remember when Saul got saved? What was the first thing that Saul said to the Lord on that road to Damascus when God saved him? He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He wanted to know what God wanted him to do, because he wanted a life of true happiness. And I say to you young people, you're looking for fulfillment in life. You're looking for happiness in life. And friend, listen, there's the counsel of the ungodly, and they'll say, go to the world, and you'll find your happiness. And go to the world, and you'll find your employment. I say to you, and go on your knees before God and ask the Lord. And say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You see, the happy man does not walk in this counsel. Why? Because it's a forbidden path. But notice, friend, just exactly what it says. The happy man not only doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but it says he doesn't stand in the way of sinners. You know, there's something that the world would love to do with our young people who are saved. The world would love to stop you. And friend, you notice it says standing in the way of sinners. And I've got young people in this congregation, and I'll tell you this, when God has saved them, they're on fire for God, and there's something that the devil would love to do with you. He wants to stop you. He wants you to stand. Stand still, instead of going on fire for God and going for God and standing up for God and for His truth. And I'll tell you, the Bible says the happy man is the man that not only doesn't listen to the counsel of the ungodly, but he doesn't stand in the way of sinners. We sing the hymn, I'm pressing on the upward way. But the devil doesn't want you to press on. He wants you to stop. And friend, let me tell you, there's a pathway down here. Because first of all, the counsel of the ungodly, walking in the counsel, then standing in the way of sinners, but where the next? Sitting in the seat of the scornful. Now I'll tell you, the devil will want to stop you in your track, young child of God. And he'll want you to listen to the counsel of the ungodly and get companionships of the ungodly. And then they'll stop you in your track. And once you're on fire for God, and once you are walking with God, and then the next thing, he wants you to sit down in the counsel of godly. You know, whenever a sister talked about that teacher, and he called himself an atheist, let me tell you, he also professed that when he was a young person, that he once had faith in Christ. My friend, you see, let me tell you, you see the devil's trap. Yes, he'll get you. Yes, join up with the ungodly. My, when you get to university, get in the company of the ungodly. And friend, let me tell you so quick, until you're standing in their way. And because you're not taking your stand for God, then you're doing the things that they're doing. And then you're sitting. You sit down with them. And you sit with the seat of the scornful. I say to you, the happy man's the man that walks not with the ungodly, but walks with God. The happy man is not the person that stands in the way of sinners, but stands up for the truth. And I'm glad that our young people have got the determination and godly zeal that whenever falsehood has been spoken, they speak up for Christ and they take their stand for the gospel and for the Lord Jesus Christ. And instead of sitting in the seat of the scornful friend, sit like Mary at the feet of Jesus. Listen to the Master. Talk to Him. He's the one, let me tell you, that give you breath and give you life. He's the one that has given you purpose for living. For He gives me something worth living for. There's the first thought. Happy is the man, the man's counsel, the happy man's counsel. Then turn to the book of Jeremiah. In the chapter 17, Jeremiah 17. And here we find the happy man's confidence. Because Jeremiah chapter 17 says, if I go down to verse number 7, happy is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the years of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. How can this happen, friend? Do you know why? Because she's a tree that is planted, and her roots spread out by the river. And even though there's a drought, and even though, my friend, there's a testing time, thank God her leaf's still green. And she shall not cease from yielding fruit, because her root is drawing the sap. She's getting refreshed. And you know, Jeremiah knew David had expressed a similar truth, because Psalm 1 talks about the same thing. But the godly man is the one planted by the river of water. But the difference between the king of Israel, David, and Jeremiah, the king of Israel stressed it in a negative sense. He that walketh not. But the prophet of God expresses the positive. Both make reference to a tree planted by the river. Now what's the secret of this happy man? Verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. And Ian, you're going to have to trust the Lord. You're going to have to trust Him to guide you, to give you wisdom, and even in college to take your stand for that which is right. Never be ashamed to stand up for the old book. Never be ashamed to stand up for the old preaching, the old gospel ship of Zion. And you take your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because happy is the man that trusteth in the Lord. You're going to have to trust Him. Not only for financial things, you're going to have to trust Him for everything. Of course, that's what we all have to do. The young people going to university. Happy is the person who has their confidence in the Lord. Look at verse 5 of the same chapter. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when the good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit it. Jeremiah speaks of the cursed man. Who's he? He's a man that trusts in himself. He's a man that trusts in others. Let me tell you, my friend, I know that down the road of life that you and I can meet some lovely people. And we thank God for those people that come into our lives and are a blessing. But let me tell you, the best of men are only men at best. And they can let you down. And they can disappoint you. And they can fail you. And when your back's against the wall and you need the most, and you turn around and you cry out for them, you'll find that they're not there. You see, man can be, as it says in verse 6, he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh. Because man can be a failure. Man can be a failure. But you see, the happy man is not the man that's trusting in man. The happy man is the man that's trusting in the Lord. You see, the Lord says this, I am the Lord and I change not. He's not the fair weather friend. He's always the same. He's the Lord who faileth not. He's the Lord who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. He's the Lord who says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. He's with you in the day, the top of the mountain, when everything's sweet and beautiful, friend, and the sweet air of life is just blowing around you. And you look out across the landscape of life, and listen, friend, everything's just going your way. But then when you come to the valley, and you walk through the rough stones of life, and your feet are cut and bruised and sore, and your heart's heavy, and it's breaking, he says, I'll never leave thee. He says, I'll never forsake you. You know what God says? Happy is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Oh, it's good to trust the Lord, friend. You know, one of Hollywood's famous film producers, he was a multimillionaire, and he said this: there have been occasions when I have given everything I possess just for a moment of happiness. That's sad. To have the bank full. You see, friend, listen. You can buy a home, and you can buy a car, and you can buy a farm, and you can buy a business, and you could even buy friends. But you can't buy true happiness. For happy is the man that trusteth in the Lord. And when all of these other things have disappeared, and all of these other things have run their course, and you come to the end of the journey, and you've got to step out into the cold, chilly waters of death, and the horse rider that's pale on the pale horse comes to demand that you come to eternity, let me tell you, everything else will fail. And man will fail, for let me tell you, I don't care how sweet the friendship is. The wife has got to say farewell as far as time's concerned at the riverside. And you'll take that last kiss, and you'll hold that last hand, and you'll take the last embrace. And you've got to go on into eternity without them. But happy's the man that can say with a hymn writer, I won't have to cross Jordan alone, because the Lord's there. Lord, you're with me. True happiness. I was thinking, you know, of William Carey. And William Carey was a missionary to India. And you know, his life was tested even as a missionary, for he was confronted with many problems. And he translated the New Testament into the Hindu language to reach some of the Hindu people in India. He printed 100 copies of the New Testament in the Hindu language. He presented one of them to Queen Victoria. But you know, as William Carey's life as a missionary, and he wanted to do great, and he had great plans for the things of God, he had great vision. But friend, he was faced with many problems. Instead of disappearing, those problems increased. Fire destroyed his property. Friends failed him. And at times became disappointed and discouraged. And then one day, an Indian came to his mission station from a reservation. He was carrying in his hand a copy of the New Testament that William Carey had translated into the Hindu language. He said, "Sir, did you write this book?" William Carey said, "I translated it. I didn't write it, it's God's word. But I translated it into the Hindu language." And the old Indian smiled and he said, "Sir, a copy of this book came to our reservation. There was one man on the reservation who could read. And at night time he would gather us around. The news was spread that this man has got a special book. It's from the God of heaven." And it wasn't until a short time that everybody in the village gathered in to hear the reading of this book. He said, "You know, the entire population listened day after day. And then drunkenness stopped. And immorality stopped. And the fights, they started to stop. And every form of vice disappeared as this word touched the hearts of our village." And he said, "Sir, the lives of our people were changed. I'm here to thank you from our chief. Thank you for the little book." You know, Carey, he wept in joy. That when it seemed as if all life was tough and hard and there was no reason to go on, his work was a failure. That God was working. That God was moving. Thank God for the little book. Thank God for the book, friend, tonight. Thank God, blessed is the man. Happy, oh happy, is the man who trusteth in thee. The happy man's counsel. It's not the counsel of the ungodly. The happy man's confidence. Let's quickly notice. The happy man's chosen. Turn to Psalm 65. Psalm 65. And look down there at verse 4. And I'm going to give you these rest because time's quickly going. Meditate upon them. Look at verse 4. "Blessed or happy is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Happy is the man whom thou choosest." Thank God we're chosen of God. To think, my friend, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder why he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. Oh, why did he love me? Why did God so love me that he gave his darling son to go to the cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood? Notice what it says, "Happy is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee." What a privilege to approach unto the throne of God himself. That God is so ordained that you and I, chosen in Christ, can come right into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Prince Andrew visited this past week. And I had lunch with him. And I must be honest, he's a very pleasant young man. We enjoyed his company. Friend, let me tell you this. Sometimes people simply see royalty at a distance. Let me tell you, now are we the sons of God. Thank God we're children of the King. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Why? Why have we been given this privilege? Not because of anything in us, but blessed or happy is the man whom God thou choosest. And God has set his electing love upon us. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You know, the Bible tells us Jonathan's son. If you turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 9. Lovely statement there. Jonathan's son was lame on both feet. But it says in 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 11, Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, that was Jonathan's son, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Verse 13, So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table. Let me tell you, friend, you and I are feasting at the king's table every day. When you read God's word, you're feasting at the king's table. You're listening to his precious word. This is the king's table spread for his people, and God has provided this wonderful book for him, and he wants us to eat and be happy. Here was Jonathan, condemned to death. Jonathan's son, condemned to death. He was lame on both feet. He could only pull them after him. He was a sight, as far as the world was concerned, a sight to behold. And David said, Mephibosheth, you shall eat at my table, the king's table, continually. See, the happy man is chosen. Very quickly, there's two other thoughts. And then Psalm 94. You know, the happy man's chastisement. You say there's bound to be a mistake here. No, there's no mistake. Psalm 94, look at verse number 12. Blessed or happy is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. The happy man's chastisement. You know, none of us like the rod of correction. I don't know about you. I remember getting the rod one time, and I can tell you, I didn't like it. I was saying to someone the other day, you know, parents, you know, you don't like to give the rod. Sharon had a wonderful thing whenever she was a child. Because my daughter Sharon, whenever we said, listen, when you get home, we're going to smack you. Sharon would have went into the house. She'd have walked into the kitchen. She'd have pulled out the drawer. She'd have got the wooden spoon. And she says, here, Daddy. And friend, you know, you could hardly do it right. She just knew what to do. But you know, God sometimes has got to put the wooden spoon upon us. And God has got to intervene in our lives, and God has got to correct us, and God has got to discipline us. A child left to itself, the Bible says, brings his father shame. Little discipline in this world. And you know, sometimes parents say to their children, remember, my saying to me one time, he says, my daddy, every time he smacks me, daddy always says, son, this hurts me more than it does you. He says, daddy must be hurting very badly because it's certainly hurting me. But the rod of correction, friend, God corrects us. Happy is the man whom the Lord chasteneth. The word of God tells us, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. It's a sign of a father's love. But the interesting thing about God's chastisement, friend, there's always a purpose with God. Don't you ever think of God's chastening you. If you're feeling the rod of correction, friend, don't feel that God's forgotten you. Let me tell you, he's thinking on you. Don't you worry, he's thinking on you all right. That's why he's correcting you. He's loving you. He's thinking you. He's working out his purpose in your life. He wants to correct you. He wants to discipline you. He wants to stop you in going a wrong path and doing a wrong thing. Walking in rebellion. But there's one wee verse I want to show you before we move on to the last thought. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And the Holy Ghost says this. Hebrews 12 and verse number 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Look at verse number 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, mark the next word. Afterward. There's always a purpose with God, friend. And let me tell you, there's always an afterward with God. You see, God will work it out. Afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Happy, the happy man's chastisement. Here's the last thought. Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8 and the verse number 34. And in Proverbs 8, it's the happy man's contemplation. In Proverbs 8 and the verse 34, blessed or happy is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Solomon here in this passage is depicting a man patiently waiting the arrival of the king. He heard that the king is approaching. He's heard that the king is coming. He's going to pass through the gates. And so what does he do? With great determination, he begins his vigil. He takes his place because he wants to see the king. And it says, happy is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. And there he waits, and he waits, and then the king comes. And as the king passes by, the king smiles, and he waves. And you know, the man's happy, because he had got the smile of the king's approval. The Bible tells us the king is coming. The Lord Jesus told about the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 had got a lamp in their hand, friend, but listen, there was no oil. They had got a profession, but they had got no possession. And the 5 that were wise, when the shout went up, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. They trimmed their lamps, and the virgins went out to meet the bride and the bridegroom. And they went in with him. And the door was shut. Are you waiting for the Master? Are you looking for Christ, friend? Are you saying with John of old, as he finished under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, when Jesus says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. And John said in holy contemplation, even so come. Come, Lord Jesus. Happy is the man that's looking for him. Are you sitting at the gate, friend, waiting for the king to appear? For the king's coming. Thank God he's coming for me. You don't know the happiness of Christ, friend, I beg you in God's name, come to Jesus tonight. You might have got your happiness. Men try to get their happiness in a bottle. And friend, it disappears. But happy is a man that trusteth in the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that many in this house tonight are happy in Christ. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. For I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. O God, bless Thy word. To those that have heard it, may they hear it to the salvation of their soul, those that are not saved. For those that have wandered, O God, bring them back. Bring them back to Yourself. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend, the meeting will be over in a moment. Can I ask you a question? Have you got real happiness in Christ tonight? Are you saved? You know what it is to have your sins covered in the blood of the Lamb? Have you got the peace of God within your soul? If not, I beg you, come to Christ. I'm not inviting you to the church, I'm inviting you to Christ. You're in the church tonight, the building that God has given us, this place for the preaching of the gospel. What an awful thing to be outside of Christ and be lost for all eternity. As your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you call upon the Lord? Just call on Him now, friend. I'll be in the minister's room in a moment. You can come and speak to me. We'll gladly open the scriptures and show you from God's word how you can really be sure you're saved. But remember this verse. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May God give you grace to call. May God give you grace to come. Heavenly Father, Thou knowest every heart. There's not one in this meeting, but You know exactly what's going on in their heart right now. You know if there's rebellion there. Oh God, You know if there's Christ rejection there. For Thou, God, seest me and knowest me altogether. Oh, by Thy Holy Spirit, draw the sinner to Jesus. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.